We'll get the meeting started. Sylvia, I know there's a lot of stuff that we got to go over, so if you don't mind, the floor is yours.
Well, thanks, Greg, and it's really not a lot to go over. So, number one, do not let these forms overwhelm you. Number two, do not let them stop you from making sales. They're just, it's kind of like the contractors that we meet that have to pay WSIB, even though, you know, with the chance of them collecting, it's a license to go to work. For us, this is just a little extra paperwork so we get paid, but it also protects us. And how important is this? Well, I wondered myself. So last Friday, I called Paul Edmonston. Now, for those of you that don't know who Paul is in our company, he's our COO. Some people call him Mr. Cuddle. Some people call him Mr. Sales Prevention. But really, Paul's job is to protect everyone, everyone in the company Landmark and each and every one of us. And his other job is to make sure that we have a continued good working relationship with Le Capital Financial Security. And why is that important? Well, again, if you're fairly new to Landmark, we have the privilege to have exclusive rights to provide the very best program for the self-employed in Canada. The only way a person can get one of our programs is through one of us at Landmark or through Le Capital FS agent. So not every agent can access, not every insurance agent can access this program. So for me and for most of us that have been around for a long time, this is a great privilege. And we don't want to lose that privilege. And in the life insurance world, compliance forms have been around for a long time. They've talked to us a couple of times. We've managed to kind of push it off, but we're at a point now where compliance-wise, it's just become something that's extremely important. And if you look at this like everything else with the right attitude, you can use these forms, or at least the one form, the needs analysis form, which has the most detail, which is not a big deal. You can use them to your advantage. So I'm going to pull up the I've created a bit of a script to help with doing this, but I'm going to pull up the needs analysis first just to kind of give you a sense and switch this over here. So you're not going to sit with a client and fill this whole entire form out. What you're going to get by the time you're done is what their total income in the company and in their household is, what their basic monthly need is. In the event of a disability, what sources of income could they count on and that you can get through your application, and then your last final notes, and it's important for you to have notes. So the script, so one of the things that we looked at in doing these, first before I bring up the script, is how can we implement these forms without changing our system? We're one of the few companies in the insurance world that our objective is to protect somebody when we meet them. And if not, then as quickly as we possibly can. So we have developed a system, or they, because I wasn't around when the system was first developed, a system has been developed so that we can either walk up or phone somebody and say, hi, my name is, and within somewhere between about an hour to 2 hours later, either walk away or get off Zoom, and you've got a new client. You've got an application completed, signatures, a deposit, and that person is protected as of noon today. So we don't want these to interrupt us. So if you think that you want to do the entire needs analysis with the client before doing the rest of the system, because we're suggesting you do most of this at the end when you know you have a sale, two things can happen. First of all, you don't need to do any of these forms if you don't have a sale. So to get all caught up before you even know if you have a sale is kind of silly. But secondly, if you take up a lot of time in doing that, by the time you do get into your application and maybe halfway through, people are going to be, I don't have time for this. You're taking up too much time. So what we're looking to do, and the idea of the script and how we can, I believe, and I've been working with this for about a week and a half, and Ruth's been using it as well, is that when you, just before you do your pricing, you're going to ask a couple of questions to get some basic information. So, Ruth, are you ready to work with me here?
Now I am.
Okay. So, and just so that you know what I'm saying and what we're doing here, I'm going to pull up the the script. So, again, so at pricing. So, Ruth, over the last couple of years, what's been your gross your gross income or your net business profit?
About $120,000.
Okay. And then if something happened to you today and you could not work for an extended period of time, what would
Sylvia,
you need to...
Sylvia, we can't see anything. Black screen.
You can't?
I can see it.
I can see it.
I can see it.
John, you might need to put your glasses on or you turn your light on.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
Okay, hang on. I'll just stop it. I'll bring it back up. Let's see if we can get Gonzo. Okay, so we're going to share screen and make sure we share with Gonzo.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, can you see it, Gonzo?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Refresh your Zoom.
This was also emailed to everybody yesterday, so you have it.
Yeah, I did see it.
So, Ruth told me she makes about, she pays herself about $120,000 per year. And so, Ruth, if something happened to you today and you could not work for an extended period of time, what would be the minimum you'd need to keep food in the fridge, the lights on, and roof over your head?
Oh, $3,000.
Okay, great, thanks. Now, as it says in the script, this gives you their income and their basic expenses. You're going to finish your application, your questionnaires, go through the steps to get qualified if you're working online, ask for banking info and your deposit. So you're going to go all the way through. This is weird working with two computers. You're going to go all the way through. But what that does, first of all, at pricing. Now, I know many of you were trained to ask about income before you do pricing. Many of us don't. We just, based on the industry and what we saw, we would pick our three prices. But what this tells you is, first of all, so Ruth makes $120,000 a year. That's $10,000 a month. So you know the most she can qualify for, if that's fact, would be $5,000 per month on the 282 at 50%. And she says she needs $3,000. So for Ruth, I would price $5,000, $4,000, and $3,000. I had an interesting situation last week where a lady, her gross is $450. She pays herself $120. But her basic needs are less than $2,000 per month. And so here's one place where you might use this if you need to your advantage. Because she said, when I asked that question, she said, well, I don't really know. So I took my form. When I'm working, I have a needs analysis beside me. And so I said to her, well, what's your monthly rent or mortgage? Oh, I live in the family farm, it's paid for, I don't have a mortgage. Okay. Well, what do you figure your utilities are? Your heat, your hydro, your taxes. And she doesn't pay many of the bills, she's got an assistant, so she was guessing. But we got through to, I think it worked out to about $1,700 that her basic expenses, so she applied for $2,000. So I didn't price her really high because by asking what their basic needs, this does help with pricing. I might be able to qualify for five, but they only need three. But these two pieces of information will help you as you finish. So you're going to go through everything else. So the only interruption in our system is those two questions, or maybe one extra question for those that are used to asking their income. And you've got those two basic numbers. So if you're working online, you can jot them down on your sheet beside you. And then you're going to go all the way through everything else, all the way down to banking and deposits, so that now you're getting banking information, you're getting a deposit, you're pretty sure you've got a sale. So now you're going to pick up and just finish the rest of the needs analysis. So, but you're also going to mention the other forms. So, I'm required to justify the benefit you are applying for and make you aware that I get compensated for the work I do, should you qualify for our program and accept it, and declare to you that there is no conflict of interest. So these are the compliance things that we have to do, and that's what these forms do. All you really need from them, though, is some breakdown on the sheet. So I just need your help with breaking down your income and expenses. Now, you may not have to ask how many children they have. So you may learn ways to get some of this information as you're going through your application or just in chatting with them. Or maybe you arrive home and it's, or not arrive home, you arrive, you pull up to their driveway and there's three kids running around and, wow, is this all you have? Like, are you have three kids? Oh, no, we have four. So now you know how many children. But you want to know how many children they have, their income, which you already should know. And remember, by this time, you've done the application. So if you didn't get a, and you, that income could change from that question to when you're on the application. Don't make a big deal out of it at pricing. So if you don't know their income or you're going to mention, so your income's $10,000 a month. Does your spouse work or your partner? What's their monthly income? And your basic needs. So as if Ruth told me her basic needs are, so Ruth, you said you needed about $3,000 per month to keep the lights on, roof over your head. So how much of that would be your rent or mortgage?
Well, I have $800 a month for my mortgage.
Okay. And do you know what your utilities would be? Electric, heating, your phone taxes?
Oh, I guess that's around another $600.
Okay. So we're at $14. And how much would you spend on food?
Oh, we spend about $1,500.
What about your other insurances?
Oh,
car insurance, house insurance, business insurance.
Probably
certainly your car and house.
$400.
Okay. Any major loans, credit card bills that you have to pay every month?
Well, I clear off my credit card every month. Does that count?
Okay. Well, then, no, that's just in your all your expenses. You don't have any other loan payments?
No.
Do you pay for your vehicle? Do you have a vehicle payment?
Yeah, I've got a Corvette in the garage. I pay for that.
What's that a month?
Good.
That's $700 a month.
Nice. Convertible?
Yeah.
Stick shift? And then,
yep.
Do you have any other large expenses that you have to take care of every month?
No. What are we up to now? I haven't counted.
Okay, so we're at 14, 8. So we're well over $3,000.
Oh, well, there you go.
So now when you do this, somebody might say to you, gee, maybe I should go for a little bit more.
Yep.
So, again, this is where you can use this towards your to your benefit, or you may use this later on delivery. So it just depends on how it flows and how it goes for you. But this will bring reality for a lot of people. This also will make a difference if you end up doing a reverse, because when you go through your steps, your blocks of life, you've already got some of your numbers. Now, on the bottom, I've got some other notes on the form, and that's for the other forms. And I'm going to read them because I don't have them in front of me. I didn't print this out for me. And then I'll show you what I mean on the needs analysis. So now you've got all the information you have that's required to complete the form. For the income they could count on, so on the form there's a sheet or there's a line that says government program. So I talked to Paul yesterday and I asked Paul, how do we determine, how do we know as an agent how much a person's government program might pay? So he said, well, it really depends, you know, if you've got a young guy, he hasn't put in too much into, you know, CPP. So what I did was I just went and looked at this time, if someone has employment insurance, so if you might be selling an employee, the maximum EI is paying this year is $525 a week for 45 weeks. So remember, it's all if they qualify. Most of our clients wouldn't qualify for any of them. But I wanted to make it easy so we all have the numbers so we don't have to be spending time looking it up. Or if they have group insurance, you know that you're going to be replacing that or you're going to be topping it up. So you have that information from doing your application. Personal insurance, if they have something not including ours, so if you're replacing something, because they're putting in an application, they're not qualified. If their current program that they have would pay them, say, $2,000 per month, then that's what you would put, because that's what they have at this moment. Government program, so a person that is retired and has full pension at age 65, right now the maximum, depending on what they qualify, but the maximum is $689 a month. So I hope most of you people are planning on building a big residual income, because I don't know how anybody lives on $689 per month. If somebody has a disability benefit, the maximum, and again, it depends on qualifications, at this time is $1,031.
Sylvia, you mean a government disability benefit there, correct?
Yeah, that's Canadian disability. So I just copied and pasted off of the government. I mean, anybody can Google it, maximum benefits for if you're on disability. So these are the maximum benefits that people are paying at this time. So now I'll bring up I'll bring the needs analysis up. Okay, so you have their client name and the date. So number of dependents, of course, is their children. The monthly average for their personal income. So that we will get as we, again, they may tell you on the pricing, but you may get more detail, obviously, when you go through your application and actually see what their business numbers are. Their spouse's income, and again, don't make it too, the big thing is not to make a big deal out of this. But if a person says, first of all, if somebody says, why do you need all of this information? Well, I'm required by my company and the Insurance Council of Ontario, or SFRA, or sometimes I flip between BC and Ontario. But these are required for us, that if the company gets audited, and when I asked Paul how important, I didn't finish telling you this, when I asked Paul how important these forms were, he said, well, one day, it will happen, one day Landmark will get audited. And when we get audited, if we don't have proper forms and proper things, policies and procedures in place, we get fined, the agents also get fined. So he said, if you don't mind paying a bunch of fines someday down the road, don't do them. So these are pretty important. So these are something that we're required. It's just like our verification form on delivery. The company requires me to fill out these forms. So this is, and this, people will appreciate having this information in front of them. So, but you don't need to know exactly what the spouse, the guy says, I think she makes about 80 grand a year. You can figure it out from there. And so you will end up with their total income. Now, this woman that I worked, that comes to mind, that makes grosses 450, pays herself 120. She's on her own, so it was just $10,000 per month as her personal income. And then again, at pricing, you've asked their monthly, what they think their monthly basic is. So you said that was about $3,000. Let's break that down. You're required to break that down. And now, if somebody really doesn't want to give you these numbers, at the very bottom, notes are mandatory. You put in the notes. Ask for detail on expenses. Clients chose not to give them to me. But most people are pretty open about it. And then in the event of disability, what sources of monthly income could you count on? So most of our clients, this would be zero. Personal insurance would only be if they have something already. And again, they may not know what that program pays. So you can put in your notes, unsure of program going to be replaced upon upon approval of ours. And you can get details, but don't use that as an excuse also. So you do your very best to get all of the information, because again, it's about protecting your butt and your license.
Hey, Sylvia.
Yeah?
Can I just make one little point here?
Sure.
On that personal insurance line, if we're replacing it, they can't count on that, of course, anymore. So I would put that as zero.
Well, I kind of disagree with you. See, yeah, but that's in the event of a disability right now. I can get confirmation. There's a couple of things we're still getting confirmation from La Capitale on. But I would put, because they're not covered by us yet, and we tell them not to.
So,
but
if you pause for a second, this is kind of one of the things this is doing is helping us understand how much they need for coverage. So let's say someone needs $3,000 a month and they have $1,500 with another company. We're not going to just top them up with $1,500. We want to write them the whole $3,000 total. So this is kind of saying, as long as you qualify with us, what can you count on in the future? So if we're replacing a coverage, we want to cover that whole $3,000 of need, because as soon as they cancel that other $1,500, they no longer can qualify, or they can no longer count on for that monthly need. So we kind of need to include that $1,500 in the program that we sell them if they're going to cancel it. Say they
okay.
have a poor quality coverage. We'll talk about that later, but.
Yeah, again, so there's a couple of, I'm going based on at the moment when I'm writing them, that they're not covered by us, but again, we'll get clarification on this. What you're doing is again, showing what their basic needs are. So at this time, whatever you do, this is going to start on Monday, and we will have some other answers. There's a couple of other things we're working on and finding out about the form. But to give people some basic understanding about how to fill them out. So stay tuned on that point. But for a lot of people, they have nothing. A lot of the people we meet, they certainly can't get any employment insurance, and they have no other coverage. What I will write, because I just Googled it yesterday on the government program, is in the line here would be if qualified. Because we really don't know. You meet a 30-year-old, his CPP is not going to be much. He hasn't put much in. And then you add and subtract. And again, you don't have to do everything right with the client. You can finish it off just like you put in your agent code. So, and then was accident coverage discussed, yes or no? Well, of course, if it's your first call, it should be yes. Was it taken? Well, if you're doing this paperwork, it was taken. Now, you may do a form and keep one for somebody for later, but I'm not sure why. But anyways, but typically you're doing this because you're doing an app. Was sickness coverage discussed, and was it taken? So I had a couple of instances last week where when I do my exceptions and limitations, I mention sickness. So when I say this doesn't cover you for a loss that is caused by sickness, disease, whatever, and I always tell my people, we will talk about sickness upon delivery. But this is an accident-only policy. So I would say on that, sickness was not discussed and it was not taken. But I also had one lady where I sat down when we were getting together and looking at pricing and her budget. I said, understand that when we get you covered for accident, I am going to talk to you about sickness. And we had a bit of a conversation. And so I wrote, sickness was discussed. It was not taken, and in my notes, client could qualify for $5,000, took $2,000, that's all she needs. We talked about sickness. Sickness will be further discussed and taken upon acceptance or qualification of accident. So I just said that we'll do sickness when she gets qualified for accident. But this is a good time to talk, like keep good notes, because you're going to ideally use this form when you go on delivery. But you can't put, so what, I'm going to stop sharing. So we're not sure 100% yet what's happening with the forms, but we've talked about the fact that when we deliver and do sickness, we want to have a copy of the needs analysis. So it's, at this time, going to be suggested, again, stay tuned as we figure some of this stuff out, because we work different than Le Capitel. We as agents will take a copy or keep a copy ourselves, and then on the back of the, because I asked Paul about what about putting things like a possible waiver on left knee, and he said, no, you don't want to put that on there, but and I said, we want to have one of these needs analysis, because you don't want to redo another one in 4 to 6 weeks when you deliver your accident, so keep a copy, so then you've got all the information there. And you can put your notes on the back that there might be a waiver or whatever else, or what you just might have discussed, whatever might help you when you go to do delivery. Because on delivery, it might be, well, geez, Ruth, you told me you needed $3,000, and as we really broke it down, it looks like you need about $4,500. Now we got you qualified for the
$3,000. Not really.
Should we bump it up? Or not necessarily exactly in those ways, but people might say, you know, I've got thinking about it. I'd like to bump it up, or you're going to talk about sickness. So you don't want to have to redo a second needs analysis. The other forms, I'll talk about them very quickly. I think I can switch from one to the other. So, yes, it's switched. Okay, so this form here.
Can I interject?
Certainly.
If just on that note that you mentioned,
if someone does qualify for, let's say, 3,000, but they only need 15, can they request, be like, well, no, I'd rather, you know, I'd rather get what I qualify for since it's half of my income?
You lost me for a minute.
Okay, so let's say somebody, if we break down their expenses, what they really need is about $1,500 in coverage, as an example. But based on their income, you know, they can qualify for three. Can they request that they get, you know, 50% of their income covered, or are we just covering them for their basic needs?
Well, it gives you two numbers to kind of work with, and then you, like, I would price what they can qualify for, their needs, and something in between. It's not,
yes.
I mean, it's up to us to, we're an advisor, but we can't force them, you know, sometimes you might write in there based on what their budget, you know, what their needs are and what they can afford. This is all they can afford. We can't arm wrestle them and say, well, this needs analysis says you must take $3,000.
She meant the other way around, Sylvia. So
same way. So if they want to take $1,500, like my lady, she could have written going on for $5,000. She only applied for two. So
yes.
We're not changing too much. What all we're doing is once the next form, which I'll show you, is we're going to say to them, you could qualify or apply for $5,000, but you chose to.
Yes. Okay. I just wanted to get some clarification for maybe some people who are young, new on here as well that maybe don't understand.
Okay.
So thanks for explaining that, Sylvia.
Thanks for asking the question, Kevin. So this advisor disclosure, this is where you are covering some of those things we talked about, because you're going to talk about who the companies you have relationship with. So most people on this call are definitely, well, everybody's going to tick the La Capitale Financial Security. This is accident and sickness. If you do Green Shield, you would tick Green Shield. Only people that do life insurance would tick this one. And the only other one would be people that do life insurance, but there's sometimes another company where for people that are hard to cover. So for those of you so you can just tick the boxes that you have, put in the province that you work in, and that'll always stay the same, unless you work two provinces. So what you're saying is that no insurance company holds an ownership interest in my business, nor do I hold any interest in any insurance company. You're going to tell them that you get paid, and I'm not sure why we need to tell people we get paid, but it's compliance, so we just follow through. So if you choose to purchase the product through me, I will be paid a sales commission by the company providing the product or service. I may receive a renewal service commission to continue to provide you expert advice as you keep the policy in force. I may also be eligible for additional compensation such as bonuses or non-monetary benefits, such as travel incentives based on the number of families I have helped or the quality of applications I submit to a particular company or a given time. That's us winning P-Club. If I cover enough people, I get to go on a trip. Conflict of interest. As a licensed insurance agent in the province of Ontario or whatever province you're in, I take the potential of a conflict of interest very seriously. I will notify you if there is a conflict of interest, of which I become aware regarding my recommendations to you. My overall considered recommendation will be based on my analysis of your personal financial needs. So we have no conflict of interest. If you do, you would know, and somebody would point it out to you. But John, think of a good conflict of interest while I finish this. More information. Should you require additional information about my qualifications or the nature of my business relationship, I would be pleased to assist you. So you can have these filled out, pre-filled out. Nothing changes other than the client's name. John O'Keefe, have you come up with anything that would be considered a good conflict of interest?
Well, that's a good question, because I can't think of anything right offhand, but I'm going to Google it.
Oh, okay.
Say they put you as the beneficiary.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Thanks, Joel.
Hey,
can I mention one that could actually come up?
Sure.
Past the line before. If you're, let's say you're 2,000 short of winning P Club.
Oh, yeah.
Someone can't actually qualify for a $3,000 benefit with a $2,217.50 annual premium, you cannot advise them to take a bigger policy than they can get or than what they actually need, for your, especially if it's for your own personal benefit or gain. So just use the needs analysis and the benefits that they select as your primary baseline. And after they've chosen a benefit in the trial close, which they often do, if the needs analysis say that's where they should be, great. If it says they should be higher, let them know, but say if this is where you want to go, great. And if the needs analysis say they need less and they still want to go with it, then explain that's why they chose that benefit. So Kevin, for example, you asked earlier, like, if they could, they only needed 15, but they could get 3 and they asked to get 3. Well, you can say in your notes, the client has elected to go with the $3,000 benefit and they can qualify it based on their needs. And the additional benefit could be used to cover added expenses of a disability. So there has to be a rationale and a reason behind the benefit choice. And it can't be for your own personal gain. It has to be for the client.
Perfect. That's why we keep you around, Jack. Thanks. So that's a great answer. And this is true. Now, Ken Sperling has put in a comment about at the bottom of the script about that there's old age security. That is true. But again, we really have no idea what a person will qualify for. In the event of them having a permanent disability today, we don't know what the government's going to pay. All we know is what we can find online as far as maximum benefits. And most people that we deal with are not thinking about old age security. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that, Ken. If you want to bump up what you put on your form and add old age security, or the person happens to know, have at it. To me, it's not something that I have even though I'm a licensed advisor, I haven't got a clue what somebody's going to collect. I don't really know what all their assets are. They might not get a Canadian disability pension. Now, the validation letter is actually designed and meant to be used on delivery. The only time you send your validation letter, my understanding at this time, you would send your validation letter if you've requested for your policy to be mailed so that it goes to the client. But those of us that are doing delivery online, we can send it with our delivery requirements to them for signature. And, of course, if you're in the field, you can do it on delivery. So this is validating. So replacement of monthly income due to accident and or sickness is essential to you and your family's financial well-being. Based on the information you shared with us, we have recommended the insurance coverage below. So available at, this is the maximum that this person can apply for. So for my lady that did $120 a year, $5,000 a month would be her maximum. She chose two. She didn't take any, so sickness coverage might be available. Don't know, depending on the person you're talking to, so it'll depend on age. We filled in the critical illness because for critical illness, that's the max anybody could take because it's not related to income. And then if there's anything else that you talk about, such as business protection or some of the other programs. And again, you put notes in here as to clients could apply for up to 5,000, chose 2,000 based on needs analysis or based on, but you have to, again, this is justifying and you're telling the person you could have applied for more, this is what you chose, and you're just validating the benefit that they chose. You may revisit the type of and amount of coverage you have at any time. If you'd like additional information, contact the head office. Policy number, so you're delivering, you've got your policy number. Type of insurance company, accident, sickness, whatever it is, and then, of course, client's name and advisor. And so this you will, again, have from all your other information. You'll be able to do this. You don't really have to ask the client anything on this. Okay, so that pretty much covers them, I think. There's still lots of questions as to, and I know people have some questions, so I'm going to kind of pass it back to Greg and open it up. But again, we don't have all the answers as to, where it's, I don't believe any of these forms are going to be part of their policy, like the application is. Paul's checking with Le Capitale, and so stay tuned for more information, and just don't let it stop you. Back to you, Greg.
Hey, first of all, Sylvia, great job. You know, and again, you're kind of learning as we're going too, but again, Sylvia, stress what you said at the beginning. Not everyone was on the call. What was the first thing you said that really you want to stress on this?
To not get caught up in not, like, these forms are not important unless you have a sale. So it's just another piece of information, paperwork that we have to do. If you just ask those two quick questions at pricing, you're interrupting our flow of our system. If you all of a sudden put all of these forms in the middle, it messes up our system. You still want to sell, do the best job you can to sell on the spot, and doing these forms in the middle won't help you sell on the spot.
Well said. Well said. Joy, do you want to just, because you've been working on this behind the scene with Paul, is there anything that you wanted to add to what you heard so far today?
One important thing that Paul was mentioning yesterday was if you send us a copy of this in your scan, then should you be audited, we will have that copy here for you for your protection. So it's really important to get those sent in. As of Monday, I need to have the needs analysis and the agent declaration letter in order for me to do a sale. I was asking about safe driver or guaranteed offers, if I need them at those times. Currently, the answer is no. And if I do a reduction of benefits, if a needs analysis is there or anything is done required at that time, and the answer currently is no. We are looking to find out if we can keep a needs analysis, for example, 90 days or 6 months. That's one of the things that Sylvia was referring to. Where when you go back upon delivery, you can do the increase and potentially not redo all the same paperwork again, excuse me, because it's still recent, but we'll get back to you on that. But upon delivery, you send in your delivery requirements and your reasons why letter, then we will scan those all in together for you. Your file will all be together, and then should we need them in the future, we will have them.
Jody, go ahead.
For policies that are being issued right now and you're going in to talk about sickness or any, like, previous clients that were just doing deliveries now, if we're talking sickness, are we doing the needs analysis on sickness and treating them as a new client?
Any new application that I receive as of Monday, regardless of what it is, requires the form.
Oh, Ruth has a question.
No, I don't. I have a comment.
Oh, okay.
Again, don't be afraid of these things and don't get bent out of shape about them. The important thing is to be pliable and understand that everybody's learning as they're going with this, because if you get bent out of shape about any one little clause in this thing, you're just wasting your energy. So, you know, I've been using these already. I've been using all of them because people said, you know, use them. And so I did. And did I fill them all out properly? Probably not. But I got a pretty good feel for it. And as you start to do this, you'll probably make mistakes too. And somebody will come to you and say, this is really what you should have said here. This is really what you should have said here. And we'll get it better and better. And the rules will come out and be better and better. So go with the flow. That's what I wanted to say.
Well said. Well said. You know, by nature, people don't like change. So when there's something new, you say, oh, my gosh, it throws everything off. The reality is you're going to find this to be a great tool. It's actually part of the business. Especially for solidifying the business, they'll have a lot more clarity why they applied for what they applied for, especially when you break it down, the needs analysis, they're going to go, wow, you're right. I actually probably do need more benefits, but right now this is what a good starting point. But when the trust is built and the relationship is built, when you deliver that policy, you got something to a great base to really build on and do more business with. So I have no doubt this is actually going to help you write better quality business. Do you agree with that, Amanda?
Totally. I mean, I always have preached that we're there to create solutions and not problems. And there's a few ideas, you know, like coming from the training I'm in, we already asked for what the before tax income is, so there's no change for us there. But I've had conversations with guys on the side of the road when they're like, well, how much do you think I need at trial close? And I'm like, I don't pay your bills. Let's talk about it. So we do the math. And I think this is a tool for us to leverage to have folks disregard the premium for half of a second and actually focus on the benefit. How much has to be on that check to float your family? Because, sure, they might say, oh, you know, that $2,500 at $150 looks more appealing to me than the $3,000 at $178. When these guys go down, they don't give a sweet shit how much that premium was. They need the amount of money on that check to float their family. And I think breaking the expenses down with them gives us that opportunity to take their focus from this is how much it costs to how much do you need. And I think that's great. And I'm not worried at all. And also, completely unapologetic. If this takes 2.5 hours, 3 hours to get all the T's crossed and the I's dotted and get all the information that I need from you, this is guaranteeing you an income for the rest of your life. It's the best 3 hours you would have spent. So completely unapologetic that I have to ask them 50 million questions. And I'm a fan of us providing solutions and not problems. And I agree with you, Greg. I think we're going to start signing bigger policies. And it will help us solidify the business once they break all those expenses down and realize through the emotional stories that we tell, when I go down, I am on my own. And we are the solution to that. I just ducked the paperwork for the last week because nobody told me I had to do it. So I'll start doing it now.
Well, that's what great salespeople do. We don't like paperwork. So, you know, if it's one less thing we had to do, we don't like to do it. But it needs to be done. It's part of our business. It's very professional. It's really simple. Like I said, the trust is already established at this point. You know that.
Sorry, can I interrupt and re-ask the question that Kevin asked? So in the case of the expenses all in are $2,000, however, the income supports a $3,000 benefit, are we still permitted to apply for the $3,000 benefit? Yes? Okay. And then perhaps add a note saying covering raised expenses of being disabled?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to just get a little feedback. Maybe I'll go to Christian. Maybe you could just give me your feedback and what you heard and how it fits in your psychic for doing this.
Yeah, Jack and I have been doing it the last 2 weeks, and makes no difference. It's literally no difference. So, I mean, it's great that we're having this conversation and that we know that it's, you know, mandatory and it's a government protection for clients, for us. You know, it's there to keep us safe and keep us happy and keep our customers happy. So, I mean, I really don't think there's much to add to it other than I've been doing it the last 2 weeks in the field and it's changed nothing for me. If anything, it makes them realize again at the end, you know, like we've talked about that, oh yeah. Okay. Other than just the whole context of the presentation, by the time that we get to that form, if they're doing business with us, then they know they need it. It just is another factor that reinforces why they made a good decision. So thanks, Sylvia, for going over this, and I'll send it back to you, Greg.
Well, Christian,
what did you and Jack write in the last 2 weeks, this, using this form?
Probably like 10 grand plus.
Yeah, I guess it works then. It's not holding you back, that's for sure. Yeah, it's again, there's proof right there. It really solidifies the business. Joel, do you have any comments?
Absolutely. Monday, I wrote a piece of business, and the gentleman said, well, I'm actually just looking for the smallest, like the cheapest policy I can get. And he'd had a quote from another company, and I said, well, hey, let's just kind of figure out what he has for personal expenses. And the guy that lives with his parents, and everybody here is kind of jealous of him because his rent's like diddly squat, and it's all inclusive, and there were boxes of cookies on the counter, and anyway. I said, okay, well, let's just add some stuff. What do you have for truck payment? What do you have for this payment? What do you have for this payment? We came up to just over $3,000. And I did this one in person, so I didn't have any of the physical needs analysis with me. Analysis forms. Anyways, so I just did it on a scrap piece of paper at that time, and came to over just over $3,000. And I said, okay, well, that's just in the conversation. I said, well, that's probably the best program to go with. And he said, okay, yeah, that sounds right. Sounds good. And but it really, what it did is he didn't really know what he thought his cover, his premiums or his expenses, sorry, were under $2,000. I'm here. Very, very simply came up to over three, and it was a simple increase, and the guy was quite happy with it, and he thought it was the greatest. So, again, we're going to be only doing this needs analysis form for the majority of the clients we work with that we are selling. We're going to be doing it for when we're selling them. We're not going to be doing it for every single presentation. So if you do 21 presentations in a week, or you do 25 presentations in a week, you write, let's say, four people, you're only going to be doing it four times. So, and it's going to be on people who are doing business with you, so they're really not going to be worried about it too much. On a more technical side of things, on the online forms, so Paul and I went back and forth and kind of hammered some stuff out when I was creating them, and you'll notice in some of them, the needs analysis, in your templates, some of the needs analysis will be there. Sometimes it won't be. If it's not there, it's because it's not needed. For example, the safe driver. The needs analysis form will not be there because there's no, we're not justifying the benefit chosen. They can just pick that one. It's not replacing a set amount of income. That's, again, just for the safe driver by itself, no all access. But the agent disclosure is going to be there, a couple of those other things. So if you go through the DocuSign and say, it's not there, it's because it's not required. It's already been gone through that compliance. So if you're curious, look in your DocuSign templates and find out what's required and what's not, because it's already laid out there. I think that's all I have for now.
Perfect. Perfect. Kevin, any comments or questions?
Thanks, Greg. Nothing that, you know, the team hasn't really touched on already. I mean, if someone's going to do business with you, then it's just part of the process. And it really just solidifies, you know, to them, you know, why they need it. You know, and someone's going to pay $178 to cover $3,000 every single time. You know, because if they said it's expensive, and I said, I know, you have a lot of expenses. You know, can you imagine you covered all your expenses for just $178? You know, if you were going to go out and buy something, like, would you get that deal? Would you see value in having something like that? And, I mean, it's just a no-brainer. So this just, again, it just solidifies why they need this coverage, because if they go down, you know, they're on their own. And this can make or break, you know what I mean, their family or their lifestyle. So it's just part of, you know, what we do. We're in the financial services, and we know it's administratively heavy, so we just got to have our straw, suck it up, and use it for, you know, for the good. Use it as a tool and not like something that's negative. I've been using it as a tool right at the pricing or figuring out, you know, when it says, you know, I just don't know how much coverage you need, but, you know, let's figure that out together here. That's why I'm here. And then I just go through it, and it works like a charm.
Excellent. Excellent. Mr. Banfield. Any comments or questions?
Absolutely. Can you hear me, Greg?
Sure can.
Well,
I can hear you without Zoom.
Yeah, I blame that on the face made for radio. Well, you know, one thing that we haven't discussed is our fiduciary duty. And number one would be to the client. Number two, to protect the Ministry of Finance here in Nova Scotia. Number three, the company we work for and serve. And, of course, us. Now, this means that this is, you know, everyone might think Paul or Mr. Cuddles is big and scary, and he's sales prevention. No, he is sales solidification is really what Paul is. This is really to protect us, guys, and to make sure that, you know, like people have already stated, solidify the business. This is where you solidify, making sure those needs are taken care of, because number one, the client's need or the prospecting needs are the most important as we build our book of business. This is a structure to make sure that, like Paul said, or as Sylvia said earlier, that in 5, 10, 15 years, we're not liable or, you know, maybe extended to get fined. That's pretty scary. Having something like this really solidifies our business as well, making sure we dot those I's and cross those T's. Now, we have a 12-step program. Well, now it's 13. You know, and adding a little bit more of emotional stories to this, this is the reason why we do these things. You know, imagine how would it make you feel. Making sure that we are protected, number one, our company, having those, you know, standard operating guidelines or what we call in the fire service, SOGs, that it always protects us. And I'm so happy to see that this has come in, because when you look at, I've assessed other programs, these are already in force already. So we're just really kind of similar to Zoom in a new realm. Change is not a bad thing. And I think moving forward, like Christian said, Joel said, Sylvia, as well as Ruthie, you know, these are the things that are going to protect us long term, because we know this business isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. So when we dot our I's and cross our T's, we're protecting the needs of our clients, not to mention our own fiduciary duty. So I think this was time well spent. And to go over it, what's an extra 5 minutes with a client? It just means to me solidification. So those are just my thoughts, Greg. I'll kick it back to you.
Yeah, excellent. Jack, any final thoughts?
Well, same thing that a lot of people have mentioned, like the way you think about this is how it's going to be. It can either be like an obstacle or an aid. I really see it as an aid. If I'm getting to the close and the person's agreed to do business with me, before I like finalize the benefit, I say, well, you know what, the company has us go over this needs analysis to make sure we're getting you exactly the benefit that you need. You go over it, and sometimes the person's like, wow, you know what, I probably need a little more. It just makes business a little easier, because it gives them the perspective, not just of like, wow, that would be painful and I'd hate going through that, but it's like, this is my life. These are what my bills are. And if I can't pay them, then that's going to affect my life. So that connection to themselves goes another step farther, because it's not someone else who's become disabled and imagining how that would feel if it happened to them, but seeing the financial impact that them not being able to work would have. And then the other page is, like, I pretty much always tell a client when I work with them that I paid a commission anyways, just so that they know. It's just like, I explain, I'm paid a trailing commission, so every year you keep this policy, that's why I really earn my income. And I think that's good business. They just have us do a form for it now. So everything about this is compliant, it's fair, and the way you look at it is really going to impact how you feel about it. It really is an aid to anyone who's using it properly. Thank you.
I just want to thank everyone for just being on this call. It says a lot about your being a professional, and you take it seriously. And, you know, these are the things that we have to invest in all the time. The industry is always changing. The standards of excellence always changes in our industry, so we got to keep current and stay above board. So I want to thank everyone for taking this clinic seriously today, and that you invested your time on this. Adam, do you want to just finalize any final thoughts that you want to share?
Sure. You know, thanks, you know, Sylvia for going through this, and Joel, you know, this is the second time going through some of the formalities of the paperwork. At the end of the day, this is to help and protect us. And that's the bottom line. You know, as we progress with the opportunity and people, you know, take steps towards leadership, you understand more and more how this kind of thing affects your people, it affects the office, it affects, you know, the formalities of professionalism and the standards of an organization. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of things that we've adapted to and pivoted with over the last year. And there are going to be some changes that are, you know, we all see as positive, and there's going to be changes that not everybody sees as positive. I really encourage people to understand that there's always things that not everybody sees. And so this has value in terms of what we want down the road and in terms of what we want for our agents and what we want for the growth of the organization down the road. And if we have, you know, good, loyal, professional people that are joining and growing with our business, we want to make sure as an organization that we're doing the things that are necessary in order to honor our commitment to them, which is, you know, in terms of long-term career opportunity, we need to make sure that we're doing our homework as an organization and putting people in position where they can have that long, prosperous, you know, 10-plus year career. So this is really one of those tools and a mechanism that is there to work on our behalf when we're not there, showing to whomever is looking that we are the professionals, that we are the, you know, we carry that standard very high. So, you know, from my perspective, this is not really a big change. I like to second what Jack just said. Like, most of this stuff is addressed one way or another in our presentation. Most of this stuff is brought to light, you know, insinuated to it. We may not be directly driving down to get an answer like we may have to now, but a lot of this stuff is very, very relevant when you're working with somebody and doing a good job in doing our needs. I mean, we all do a needs analysis during the presentation to some degree. So, you know, if this is something that helps ensure that we're insulated against, you know, accusations or issues down the road where he said, she said, if we're moving closer and closer and advancing technologically speaking and all those things, you know, it's to be expected that there's going to be slight changes we have to make. And this really isn't a huge formality, I don't think. From what I've heard from everybody who's using it, I mean, it's really not that big of a deal. So let's do it. Let's get it done. And onward and upward. Back to you, Greg.
Yeah, and, you know, for support, too, we have amazing office managers. You can always call Crystal if you're out east, or Elda, or Joy. I mean, we got all the support. So if you have any questions, don't be afraid. Call your leaders, call the office managers. They'll make sure you're comfortable with what you got to do. And John, if you don't mind, close the meeting with your final thoughts.
Well, this is just another step. And it's a very small step. And I think it is part of the business solidification, as everybody has indicated, because what it does, it's almost like doing a little reverse at the end of our presentation, because we're spelling out what their rent is, what their electricity expenses are, their food, their insurance. And that's all part of our reverse. And that reverse is really designed to create the need further. So I think it's part of, it validates what they need. It solidifies what they need. But the key, I think, with this is keeping it professional, but also keeping it conversational. It doesn't have to be a big deal. You don't have to make it a big deal. It's keep it very low key, conversational, and use that the script that Sylvia has worked hours on getting the script perfected. And I think it just further solidifies that business. And it's one small step that we have to do to really validate the business that we're doing with them. So. Again, it's not a big deal, but it's something that we are required to do. All right,
nice way to end the call. Enjoy your day, everybody. Bye for now.
Goodbye.